It is my pleasure to be here. I'd also like to thank Candy Schaller and America's Health Insurance Plans, our partner in hosting this conference for over 15 years. I would like to specifically acknowledge Ellen Gay, who pulls this together every year, working out the agenda, logistics. Presentations and getting it all, it's no false beat, and that it comes off smoothly is a testament to her effort. And I also want to specifically apologize to Ellen, I have been a royal pain to deal with to get this thing together the last couple of months. I have missed meetings. I have failed to respond to emails. It is not because this is not important. It is because I knew it was in very good hands. So thank you. When I think about this conference every year, I am reminded of the enormity of the challenge that the Federal Health Employees Benefit Program faces. We need to deliver health care coverage to 8 million employees, annuitants, and their dependents. They are scattered across every county in the country and overseas. Each enrollee has needs and preferences as broad and diverse as the population of the country. These are significant challenges, and they require collaboration and coordination to address. The insight that drives the FEHB is that OPM alone cannot and should not figure out the best way to deliver coverage to such a group. Rather, the FEHB enlists the private sector as a partner to offer federal employees a wide range of options to choose from. This model, settled upon when I was a toddler, has proven remarkably sturdy. As you are well aware, the FEHB is often cited as a model for how affordable care exchanges will operate. We, who work in the FEHB program every day, take a great deal of pride in our national reputation. However, we are even more pleased with the reputation that the program has earned from those who use it and therefore know it best. Survey after survey of federal employees returns the same answer. Federal employees are highly satisfied with their health care benefits. Since I gave this talk a year ago, there are several developments I'd like to highlight. Last year, we were touting the launch of a web portal that would allow employees of tribes and tribal organizations to participate in the FEHB program. We even had a demonstration by an intrepid band of OPM thespians that would show how the data would flow. So if you recall Jay and his troop, it was a really good show. That program is now up and operational. The FEHB now provides quality, affordable, and accessible health care to over 20,000 tribal employees and their families. A number that we expect to continue to grow as tribes learn more about the FEHB and become more familiar with us. While tribal enrollment is modest as a share of the total FEHB population, it is a very big deal for those who now have it. So much so that the director of the Indian Health Service, Dr. Yvette Rubidoux, came to OPM this past August and gave a special director's award to the OPM team for our efforts in this area. And I, again, give a lot of credit to the team that worked on that. We have successfully revamped how we negotiate premiums for community-rated plans. Our new methodology builds on the Affordable Health Care Act and is based on medical loss ratios. This approach accomplishes several goals. For plans that already participate in the FEHB, it provides a transparent set of rules consistent with national standards and will assure the FEHB of fair prices and our plans of predictable revenues. For carriers outside the FEHB who may be considering participation, it presents a clear set of rules that allows those plans to make confident business decisions on whether to enter this marketplace. Encouraging carriers who do not currently participate in the FEHB remains a major priority for me and for the OPM staff. While we are grateful and rightfully proud of the long-term relationships we have with most of our FEHB carriers, some of these relationships of more than 50 years in duration, the fundamental premise of the FEHB is that a competitive marketplace will yield better results for those we serve. Our goal is to assure a vibrant set of competitive choices available to all those that the FEHB serves, regardless of where they live. Toward that end, we are actively working with 6 new carriers that are seeking to offer on the FEHB, and that is in addition to the 4 carriers who entered the program last year. Perhaps most important, for both 2012 and 2013, the overall premium increases of the FEHB were below 4%. This was accomplished while maintaining the same level of benefits and is even more gratifying. So thank you for all your hard work and all that you have accomplished. Now I'd like you to go back to work and do even better. These are challenging times for federal employees. Tight budgets, sequesters, pay freezes are the reality of the day. Even success that we are justifiably proud, 2 years of low premium increases, needs to be kept in perspective. Those 2 years of low premium growth overlap with a government-wide pay freeze for federal employees. So our low premium growth translates to roughly $400 that federal employees had to pay, additional dollars that federal employees had to pay to maintain the same level of benefits. That $400 did not come out of a growing salary, but from existing family and personal budgets. But the FEHB has never been, and is not today, just about the cost of premiums. It is my and Director Berry's firm belief that those who are served by the FEHB should not just have a variety of health care coverage choices. They should have a variety of excellent health care coverage choices. The FEHB program has an established track record of providing those excellent choices. But the past is not precedent, and we must continue to prove ourselves. The healthcare delivery system is continually changing, and the challenges individuals face in trying to get the services they need are not static. What was good enough 2 years ago may not be good enough today. New treatments, new drugs, advances in health HIT, new delivery models all present both opportunities and challenges for the FEHB and our carriers. As the agenda for this conference took shape, and again, Ellen, I was paying attention, I just didn't respond to the emails. I found myself thinking about some quotes from Peter Drucker. As many of you may know, Peter Drucker was probably one of the greatest thinkers and writers about organizations and how they succeed or fail. He also had a gift for taking complex ideas and boiling them down into a nice pithy aphorism. One of my favorite Peter Drucker quotes is, "What is measured improves." By this he meant that by figuring out the elements of the effective delivery of a service and measuring those in a consistent, rigorous manner, you will better understand what goes into delivering that service, and in our case, quality health care, and make it better. The tools for assessing and measuring the performance of health systems have shown steady progress toward meeting this goal of rigor and consistency. HEDIS, CAHPS, and other similar measures are widely accepted, understood, and used, both in the public and private sectors. If the FEHB is to continue to deserve its place as a model for a healthcare marketplace, we must be leaders in the application of these tools. In that vein, John Foley, the Director of Planning and Policy Analysis at OPM, and Dr. Chris Hunter, our Chief Medical Officer, will shortly be presenting a session on assessing performance in the FEHB program. The underlying theme of both John and Chris's presentations is our commitment to measuring the performance of FEHB carriers and holding those carriers accountable for meeting the high standards we expect for those we serve. On a similar note, we will also be doing a session on hospital readmission rates. And those who work with me know, and are probably bored by, I'm a former hospital regulator, and hospital readmissions are an issue I feel very strongly about. An unnecessary readmission is a failure of the delivery system, whether by the hospital which discharged the patient without proper follow-up plans, or providers in the communities that did not properly provide the follow-up care, or some other reason. These unnecessary readmissions add billions to the cost of healthcare nationally, and we all have a strong financial incentive to minimize them. But more important to me is what they represent from the patient's perspective. A second trip to the hospital because you were too sick to be at your home. A failure to recover properly from an illness and move on and resume your life. All of the delivery system, hospitals, physicians, pharmacies, case managers, must be knit together to best serve the enrollee. As you listen to the presentations over the next few days and discuss them with your colleagues, those of you who have been coming to these conferences will notice that we will continue to return to the same theme again and again. Prescription drugs are 30% of FEHB spending, and proper adherence to prescription instructions and proper utilization of more advanced drugs offers great opportunities to improve individuals' quality of life. There are significant opportunities to better serve the FEHB participants in this area, and we will be pushing you to do the best you can. Also, as the science and practice of wellness continues to advance, we are committed to making wellness integral to the FEHB and the federal workforce writ large. We have been saying this for the past several years, and we will continue pushing this area. As someone who has had one job or another in healthcare for the past 30 years, I am struck by how the lines between healthcare delivery and population health, which when I started my career seemed so clear and uncrossable, have blurred. I am also struck by how wrong the previous bifurcation of population and health and service delivery was. Obesity is not merely the byproduct of a lifestyle choice. It is a national healthcare crisis with enormous implications for the delivery of healthcare services. Estimates of the Centers of Disease Control tell us that nearly one-third of U.S. adults are obese. In 2008, medical costs associated with obesity were estimated to be $147 billion, nearly $1,500 per person more than those of normal weight. Heart disease, stroke, type 2 diabetes, and certain types of cancers are the leading causes of preventable death in the country, and they are all exacerbated by obesity. To treat the consequences of obesity without making every effort to creatively and effectively address the root problem is folly. We will be challenging you to do more to improve the health of all our enrollees. So, I look forward to working with you all for the next couple of days. And I will leave you with another quote from Peter Drucker, which he meant to be applied to people, but I feel applies equally well to the FEHB and the carriers that participate in it. A person can only perform from strength. One cannot build performance on weakness, let alone on something one cannot do at all. As I think about the challenges before us, I am comforted by the fact that we are, in fact, performing from strength. Thank you.